a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of The Bing Crosby Show. Today his guest is Jimmy Stewart. And I just love these Jimmy Stewart shows on Bing Crosby because they're kind of a standalone series of shows in a way. Because he plays Bing Crosby's writers. Well, Bill Morrow mainly. He's one of his main writers. Likes to take Jimmy Stewart and put him in situations in which he plays with the whole innocent side of Jimmy Stewart and bring that out in semi-risque situations. And it's just an interesting thing that they do with him before he's married, after he's married, the whole thing with him. And so the arc he follows on this show is just interesting to listen to. It would be interesting to listen to them all the Jimmy Stewart appearances back to back to back to see how it sort of changes over time. Anyway, and tune in, of course, every other Saturday when we have our Jimmy Stewart Saturday, where we go chronologically through the Jimmy Stewart shows. This one will probably substitute for Saturday's show, which we won't have. We'll do some more Judy Garland, probably. But we have Judy Garland coming up on Bing Crosby's show and on Suspense. And Jimmy Stewart is going to be on Suspense here pretty soon, too, I believe. So, anyway, enjoy this episode of The Bing Crosby Show.
We're here to put you in the know that Chesterfield is on the go with something new that sets the pace. No unpleasant aftertaste.
Sound off.
Or Chesterfield.
Sound off.
Or Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it.
Today.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors and Bing's guests, Jimmy Stewart and Anna Maria Alberghetti. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present one of Hollywood's busiest citizens, a radio star, a motion picture actor, and vice president in charge of cellophane at the Chesterfield factory, Bing Crosby.
Very nice, Ken. And if I do say so myself, I turn out real neat packages.
You're doing beautiful work these days, Bing. I just don't see how you find time to squeeze everything in.
Well, actually, I don't. I haven't been to the factory for 3 days.
Oh, you're going to catch it.
I can't help it. I'm making a picture now. We're on location. I have to drive clear up to Lake Arrowhead.
Arrowhead, huh?
Yes, and believe me, it's really tough working at a place that's named after Bob Hope.
Bing,
Arrowhead wasn't named after Bob.
Well, it could have been. His head comes to rather a sharp point.
Yes, it does, it does.
You know, Ken, when Hope was a kid, he tried to sue the inventor of the ice cream cone. He claimed the guy took one look at his noggin, got the whole idea right there.
Well, Bob's a very pointed fellow. Got a pointed chin, a pointed nose.
If his jokes just had a point, he'd really be something. Just work that into the material,
you know,
somewhere.
We could use a little point right about along in here, too, couldn't
yes,
we?
Yes, yes, we're fishing. We're coming up empty. But I find it hard to be gay. Really, I do.
Why?
Well, I'm starting to worry. I'm worrying about my Christmas shopping.
Christmas shopping?
Yes.
Oh, your worries are over,
Bing.
What,
you've got something?
Why, I read in Time magazine about a terrific thing for gifts,
oh,
Bing.
What?
It's a new perfume they're making in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most potent, intoxicating scent ever concocted.
They had to make it more potent?
Mm-hmm.
I reel when I walk by the dime store now.
I tell you, Bing, this stuff is so strong that just a few drops makes everyone fall in love with each other.
Well, they ought to pour some of it in the ventilating system of the United Nations building.
Yes, a little dab on Joe Stalin's mustache wouldn't hurt any.
I love Joe's mustache. A nice touch. But honestly, are you serious about this perfume?
Yes.
Really, you got that wallop?
Oh, I'm perfectly serious. Look, I'll give you an example.
What?
A friend of mine put two drops of it on a letter and mailed it to a girl that he was crazy about.
I know. She got the letter, called the guy up, wanted to marry him.
Oh, huh? No. She couldn't wait. She took one whiff of the envelope and eloped with the postman.
Say, this is real McCoy, isn't it? What's the name of this stuff?
Well, it hasn't got any name yet. No one can find words to describe
it. Well, we'll get a name for it. I tell you what, Ken, let's grab a bottle, take it up to Frenchman's flat there in Nevada and test it.
Well, how will that help us name it?
Well, if it blows a real big hole in the desert, we'll call it Goodnight Irene.
Oh, no. That would make a very clever name for this perfume.
That's the point, over, as long as we're being silly. Ken, we got to get on the opening number here, if you'll pardon me. It's an old song entitled Bright Eyes.
I love
remember
it.
That?
Great song.
John's got a flashy arrangement he made on Bright Eyes here. And Ken, while I'm singing, will you pass through the audience with samples of that perfume? I want everyone to love this.
Right.
Spray it around. Bright Eyes, I know you so well, bright eyes. Oh, what secrets you tell. I can't believe a word you say. Your eyes are traitors, they give you away. Bright eyes, they give me a thrill. Bright eyes, just you say what you will. There is a meaning you cannot disguise in your bright eyes.
Pretty bright eyes, he knows you so well. Pretty bright eyes, oh, what secrets you tell. Can't believe a single word you say. Traitors, they give you away.
Oh, bright eyes, they give me a thrill. Bright eyes, just you say what you will. There is a meaning you cannot disguise in your
pretty, pretty, pretty bright, bright eyes.
Now comes time to remind you folks of two important things. First, over 1,500 prominent tobacco growers say that Chesterfield's delightful aroma tells you that Chesterfield's smell milder and they smoke milder.
And one of the most famous industrial research organizations in the world reports, and I quote, "Of the leading brands smoked and examined, Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the taste panel found no unpleasant aftertaste."
Yep, smokers everywhere are finding out that Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste is what they want. How about you? Next time you buy cigarettes, sound off for Chesterfield.
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it.
Today.
La Belle France has finished us with some lovely melodies recently, several hit songs. Here's a new one. Johnny Mercer, celebrated and clever lyricist, has furnished the libretto for this particular song.
Ah, the apple tree blossoms in the breeze that we walked among, lying in the hay, games we used to play while the rounds were sung only yesterday when the world was young. It isn't by chance that I happen to be Boulevard, the toast of Paris. For over the noise, the talk and the smoke, I'm good for a laugh, a drink or a joke. I walk in a room, a party or ball. Come sit over here, somebody will call. A drink for Monsieur, a drink for us all. But how many times I stop and recall, are the apple trees, sunlit memories, where the hammock swung. On our back we'd lie, looking at the sky, till the stars were sprung, only last July, when the world was young. Stars were strung only yesterday when the world was young.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. You know, folks, some 3 weeks ago, we presented here Miss Anna Maria Alberghetti, the 15-year-old coloratura soprano from the picture Here Comes the Groom. She literally tore the house down with her sparkling rendition of Lowell, Hear the Gentle Lark. So this evening, we're delighted to again present this sensational young soprano. Anna Maria, will you step out and take a bow? What are you going to sing for this evening?
The Wren.
The Wren?
Benedict.
How do you say it in Italian?
Capinero.
Capinero. Wonderful. Mr. Trotter, would you assist Anna Maria?
Mi dà
you, Anna Maria. That was really, really exciting. But don't go away, because don't forget we got a duet later. You'd be thinking of something easy, wouldn't you? Oh, something real easy. And Phil Shukin's our flautist. We want to thank you. You were spectacular, really. Just keep... Just keep your dues paid up. This may open a whole new career for you. but now I see a tall, slender, amiable chap ankling our way. That fine fellow, splendid actor, Jimmy Stewart.
Thank you, Bang.
Oh, Jimmy, it's nice to see you. You know, this is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you since you became a father.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a pretty easy time, but Bang, I was out of the hospital in 7 days.
I suppose the doctor warned you about lifting things.
Yes. I still take it easy on the stairs. But only 6 months, you know.
Must have been a big jolt, huh, Jim? A confirmed bachelor like you having twins right off the bat?
Well, I thought Gloria would be angry, but she doesn't seem to mind at all. You know?
Her wives are very understanding. I liked to see you, though, Jim. When you got the news that you were the father of twins, I'll bet you really went wild, huh?
I sure did.
What did you say?
Golly.
You had twins, all you said was golly?
I said it twice.
Man, you really blew your top. Let's see now, you and Gloria had twin girls, didn't you?
That's right, Bing, twin girls. And first thing I know, they'll start growing up, and then they'll go to school, and they'll graduate, and they'll start going out on dates and getting married and settle down and have children of their own. By golly, I don't like it.
You don't... You don't like what?
Well, being a grandfather at my age.
Wait a minute. Time flies, but not that fast. I bet you really have a time with those kids, though, don't you? Do you help Gloria take care of them? Do you bathe them and... change them and such?
No, Bing, I'm not much help in that department. I'm just not built that way.
Don't you even feed them?
Same answer. No, when it comes to mixing a formula, I'm a flop.
You can't mix a formula. Why don't you run over to Chasen's? Let Dave Chasen stir up a formula for you.
No. Gloria has much better recipe for pablum than Chasen.
He'll think of something. Jimmy, you're in for the biggest thrill of your life. You know something? It won't be long now till you'll be spending your first Christmas with your kids.
Yeah, I gotta fatten up something. I'm gonna play Santa Claus.
I don't think you'll ever make it with a knife and fork, Jim. You'll have to use pillows for stuffing like the rest of us.
Yeah, Bing, speaking of Christmas...
I don't need many pillows either.
Speaking of Christmas, that's why I came down to see you.
What do you mean?
Well, I want to buy Gloria a present, mm-hmm. and I thought I might get her something intimate.
Well, Jimmy, that's a little out of my line. I don't know anything about...
Well, Bing, I always looked upon you as a man of the world, and I thought you might take me shopping. I think wives like to get dainty presents, you know, something lacy and sheer.
Jimmy Stewart, of all people, you.
Will you help me, Bing?
I certainly will, and I know just the place to go.
Where?
Over at Orbach's. I saw the flimsiest... Get a laugh with Orbach's. Yeah. I saw the flimsiest, sheerest, laciest handkerchiefs there, and I'll take you over right now.
Oh, well, Bing, I'm man enough to walk into a store and buy handkerchiefs alone.
Well, Jimmy, you can't buy anything lacier or sheerer or more attractive than these handkerchiefs I saw.
Oh, yes, you can.
This boy's been looking at the ads in Harper's Bazaar.
That's right, I have.
Well, then out with it. What do you want to buy, Gloria?
Well, I don't know what you call them, but I'll know them when we see them.
This here is real top secret. Okay, Jimmy. I know a very nice lady shop. It's right here on Vine Street.
Oh?
We can run right over now.
Oh, now? Well, don't you have to work, Bang?
Oh, this beats working, Jim. Come on, let's go.
Garth,
Bing, I've been thinking this over. Maybe I'd better get Gloria some kitchenware.
No, you got a great idea. Jim, stick with it. Here's the shop right here. Fifi's Fluorescent Flimsies. Limited, very limited. Let's go in.
Oh, gee, just looking in the window's frightening. I'm scared. Let's walk around the block again. Think this over, huh?
We walk by here once more, they'll think we're picketing the joint. Come on, Jim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. May I help you?
Yes. May my friend and I have a glass of water?
Oh, come on, speak up.
But, Bing, this is a girl.
Well, who do you expect to wait on you, Baron Leone or something?
Do you have any gloves, miss?
Gloves, nothing. Show us some fluorescent flimsies. Come on.
Very well. Would you like to see something in a slip?
Well, I'd like to see a slip, but I think it should be empty.
Here's a very nice imported slip. Are you sure you wouldn't like it modeled?
No. My friend is very bashful. You just give it to me. I'll try it on. Well, here we are. There we are. What do you think, Jim?
I think it's terrific.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Well, it's none of my business, but I don't think it does anything for you.
He's not buying it for me. I'm the technical advisor on this deal.
No, you see, miss, I'm trying to get a Christmas present from a wife.
Oh, you're married.
That goes for me, too.
Well, then perhaps your wife would like one of these marabou bed jackets.
Gee, that is nice and fluffy, isn't it? Try that on, Bang.
Oh, these feathers tickle so. I'll put one more thing on. I'll get an offer from John Robert Powers here.
Here's a novelty this year, a fancy garters like the French can-can dancers wear.
Oh, toss me a couple of those. I need some sleeve holders.
And here's another new item this season. They're called waist cinchers.
Oh, those are very good.
They are?
Yeah. Mm.
They're little half corsets that give Madame a very slim waistline.
No, that's not fancy enough.
Well, then how about a negligee?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. How about some mules?
No, we got a dog and a cat. I don't think we can.
Perhaps your wife would like a nice taffeta petticoat.
Well, yeah, that might be. Oh, quick! Quick, Bing, right. Duck down behind the counter.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
Quick, duck down here.
What's wrong?
Boy, that was a close one.
What happened?
Luella was looking in the window.
She'll never recognize me with all these fancy duds on.
Yeah, no, but she's liable to think I have a date with Mae West.
Oh, I don't look that good.
If you gentlemen will get up off the floor, I'd like to show you something that I think would make a lovely gift.
Well, what's that?
This is a new perfume from Paris. It's called Good Night, Irene.
Oh, that's fine. I'll take a pint of that.
No, wait a minute. Oh. If that's the stuff I think it is, don't even pull the cork, Jim.
Well, what's wrong, Bing? Why can't I buy some of this perfume?
It's dynamite, Jim. That stuff's dynamite. One whiff of that, you'd go shopping alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I might take that taffeta petticoat. Will you wrap it as a gift, please, miss?
Oh, we can pick it up later, Jim. Let's get back to the broadcast, huh?
Okay.
Oh, just a minute, please.
What's wrong?
Will you please take off that slip, those garters, and that bed jacket?
Oh, pardon me. Here you are, miss. I'm really very sorry. I forgot I had this stuff on. Help me off with this slip, will you, pal?
Get out the way you got in.
Well, I'll make it myself then. Here you are. Goodbye, miss.
Goodbye. And I'll thank you also to take off that waist cincher.
That he came in with.
Oh, pardon me.
Well, I'll never come here again. Well, let's sound off for Chesterfield with me as you kick off.
1,500 tobacco men have shown you before, they'll show you again, that Chesterfields are really best. They're really best by mildest test.
They smell mild,
Chesterfield.
Then they smoke mild,
Chesterfield.
Milder, 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 milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
In planned research, precise and exact, scientists prove this important fact. Chesterfield in every case left no unpleasant aftertaste. Mildness plus,
no aftertaste.
Mildness plus,
no aftertaste.
No unpleasant aftertaste in Chesterfield.
That's right.
At the movie studios that rate, Chesterfields are doing great. They're tops with the stars in Hollywood. If you don't smoke them, you certainly should. Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it
today.
Well, you sold me, Ben.
Our closing selection this evening is America the Beautiful. This will be sung as a duet with Miss Alberghetti, because Anna Maria, you know, has only been in this country a few months. But this is the song that she loves, and she's learned it, and it's at her suggestion that we do it. John, I think we're ready.
For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain,
for purple mountain majesties above the mooted plain.
Jimmy Stewart, for joining us this evening.
Oh, I enjoyed it, Bing. I'm just a little worried about my shopping, though. You think maybe I should have bought a camisole?
If you want to send something to Grandma Moses, it'd be nice. Jimmy, will you give my best to Gloria and the kids?
I sure will, Bing.
And don't forget, you people with service friends overseas, the post office people say tomorrow is the last day you can mail your Christmas packages in order for them to arrive overseas in time for Christmas. And remember, overseas, they'll like Chesterfields just as much as you do. So tonight, or tomorrow for sure, sound off for Chesterfield. Send a Christmas package and do it today.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Alexis Smith, Bert Wheeler, and Tony Arden.
transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads brings you a popular version of Balfe's immortal opera, The Bohemian Girl, starring Gordon McRae and his celebrated guest from the Metropolitan Opera, Dorothy Kirsten. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another thrilling musical drama is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, I shall be Thaddeus, and Dorothy Kirsten is Arlene in our Railroad Hour impression of The Bohemian Girl. The wind that blows through the pine tops of the Austrian forests also fans the campfires of the wandering gypsies. There are no marble halls in the mountain wilds, and only the boughs of the forest make a roof over our heads. But a man or a woman can be happy serving in the band of the Gypsy King.
In a gypsy's life you read the life that all would like to lead. In a gypsy's life you read the life that all would like to lead. Sometimes under roof, and sometimes throne, where the wild wolf makes his lair,
dream.
All the time. When I'm with you, Arlene, I dream of everything lovely in the world. And I don't even have to close my eyes.
Sometimes this gypsy life we lead seems to be a vision. And the dream I have over and over again and again, my dream seems to be reality.
What have you dreamt, my love? Tell me.
I dreamt that I dwelt in my vassals and serfs at my side, and the whole who assembled within those walls, that I was the hope and the pride. love me still?
My love is as deep as deepness, bright as brilliance, eternal as eternity.
Yet there is a mystery which mars our happiness. Who am I? Where did I come from? Am I worthy of you?
Oh, my love, I...
This mark on my arm, I have seen you looking at it many times. And on your face there is a touch of memory, a distant pain. Tell me, Thaddeus, help me solve this mystery.
I will tell you.
The wound upon mine arm, whose mark through life will be in saving me from greater harm, was there transfixed by me. Head on thy gentle head, thy sixth son had its radiance shed. Oh, while dear, who had lain at bay, pursued by hunters, crossed the way. By slaying him, I rescued thee.
Yes.
And in his death throes agony, thy gentle form, by his antler gold, this humble arm to thy home restored.
Strange feelings move this breast. It never knew before.
Beyond mine own.
The secret of my birth to him is only known. The secret of all life whose worth perchance he will disown. He will disown.
King of this gypsy tribe, I order you both to join in the village of Arnheim.
But he was going to tell me.
My child, it is sometimes better not to know too much. The village fair is to start, and they expect us to dance and sing for them.
My love.
Come, take my hand.
You have long been betrothed according to the customs of the gypsies. Why not make this fair day your wedding day?
I will not force Arlene until she is satisfied in her mind.
I owe you my life. And long ago I gave you my love. Take my hand. Or do you not wish a gypsy bride?
Arlene.
Come, gypsy bride, and repair to the fair. There were maids in dance with the hours and chance.
Come, gypsy bride, and repair to the fair. There were maids in dance with the hours and chance.
With a gypsy bride will sold her life beside. Life can give nothing beyond one heart you know will be fond. Will he this heart can obey, the peace content can supply. Wealth with his heart cannot buy,
the peace content can supply, and rank in it all cannot find the calm of a happy mind, and rank in it all you cannot find the calm of a happy mind. Come with a gypsy bride and repay to the fair with a maid dance, with the hours and chance.
Come with a gypsy bride and repay to the fair with a maid dance, with the hours and chance.
You're all invited to our wedding.
Excellent, an excellent performance. Gypsy Chief.
Yes, yes, Count Anna.
Tell me, who is the beautiful child who dances so exuberantly?
That, Your Excellency, is our bride. Within the hour, she will be married.
Bring her here. I should like to wish her happiness.
Yes, Your Excellency. Arlene, go speak with the Count, but only for a moment, I pray you. We do not wish to delay the wedding ceremony.
Of course. Your Excellency.
My child, I wish you much joy in your lifetime. Long ago, I had a daughter. But now the marble halls of my castle are empty, and I am a lonely old man.
What happened to her, sire?
Stolen from her room many years ago. She was only a child of six.
Sire.
Someday, perhaps, I shall find her. But do not let me spoil the happiness of your wedding day.
Sire, tell me, would you know your daughter if you saw her again?
Only by a mark.
A mark?
On her arm.
Was it a mark like this?
What? My child. My daughter.
Father, it is the man who saved my life many years ago who is to become my husband today. Thaddeus, where has he gone? Thaddeus!
Do not leave me, my child, on the day of our reunion.
I must find Thaddeus! Thaddeus! Oh, Thaddeus, where are you going?
Into the forest, where gypsies live. You must go where you belong, Arlene, to the marble halls you dreamt about. I cannot go with you.
No?
But I only ask and hope that you will think of me and remember. Please remember.
When other lips and other hearts their tales of love shall tell, in language whose excess imparts the power they feel so well, may perhaps in such a scene some recollection be. Of days that have as happy been, and you'll remember.
return for the second act of The Bohemian Girl in just a moment. If you were asked what it is that makes possible the world's highest standard of living here in the United States, you would find it pretty difficult to single out any one thing that contributes more than any other to the production and distribution of America's vast wealth of goods. For really, it takes a combination of our rich natural resources, our unparalleled agricultural production and industrial capacity, and the freedom of enterprise of our people to turn out all the things we need and use in our daily lives and must have for our defense. And essential to this combination is our continent-wide mass transportation system, whose backbone is the nation's railroads. Day in and day out in all seasons and in all parts of the country, trains are ever rolling, carrying raw materials and finished goods, the products of farm, forest, and mine, of mill and factory. These trains are doing the nation's big transportation job, supplying the basic service that this big country must have. For our railroads produce more intercity freight transportation service than all other forms of transportation combined. And only railroads can do a job like this, and do it with an overall economy in the use of fuel, materials, and manpower, which no other form of transportation offering general services even approaches. Without this basic, all-commodity, and low-cost moving job being done by railroads, we could not produce and live as we do. That's why it's so important to all of us that these essential railroads be allowed to keep themselves strong, ready to go on meeting the big needs of our big commerce and the growing demands of national defense. To be able to do this, railroads must be permitted to charge freight rates, which will produce revenues adequate to meet their cost of operation and yield earnings that will attract the capital investment necessary to continue their large-scale program of improving their service for the nation and for you. And now Act Two of the Lawrence and Lee version of The Bohemian Girl, starring Gordon McRae as Thaddeus and Dorothy Kirsten as Arlene.
How empty the forest is. Go to her. Claim her.
I cannot. I am her father's enemy.
Listen. Everywhere I turn, I hear her voice.
Oh, my boy, you are listening to the wind and the trees and the sound of your own heart.
No, Donaldson. Listen, there, again.
It is only the wind and the sound of memory.
I will never see her again.
How many years have we been friends, Thaddeus, since you escaped from your pursuers, the soldiers of Austria?
Yes, and you gave me refuge here in your green forest.
I shall not stand by and see you hurt again. When you saved that child from death and her father was not grateful, I stole her from her room. Say the word and I shall steal her again.
Oh, my friend, Arlene is no longer a child. She's a woman now. Their home is within the marble halls of Arnhem Castle.
Then go to the castle, stand before them, and fly your banners in the face of your enemy.
I will do it, Devilshoof. For what good is it to live if you die each minute? I shall go to Arnhem Castle.
You are not serious, Gypsy. The daughter of a count cannot marry a forest vagabond.
Father!
It is better to die as my comrades on the field of battle have died than to stand before you hearing such words. Call on your soldiers. They will wish to capture me, to kill me, when I tell you who I am.
When the fair land of Poland was plowed by the hoof of the ruthless invader, when might with steel to the bosom and flame to the roof completed her triumph for right. In that moment of danger when freedom invoked all the fearless sons of her pride, in a phalanx as dauntless as freedom a yoked, I fought and I fled by her side. My birth is noble, unstained, my crest, as is thine own. Let this attest, my birth is noble, unstained, my crest, as is thine own. As is thine own, let this attest.
Here are my papers. I am a captain in the army of Poland.
Oh.
Your honor, Captain Arnheim. The enemy of Austria. But in the forests of the gypsies, your daughter and I were not enemies.
My boy, in your gypsy camp, you have not heard the news from the battlefield. The war is over. We are now at peace, your country and mine. Today, the fair land of Austria clasps the hand of the fair land of Poland.
Thaddeus.
I give you my blessing and the belated thanks of an old man who thought he had lost a daughter, but who has gained a son.
Arlene. Oh, my love, it seems as if a great storm has been raging about us. And now, look. Suddenly, the sun shines and the whole world is beautiful. And you're in my arms.
Let not the heart for sorrow deep refuse the bosom that sees to heave. Let us not think of the tempest past, if it is a haven at last. Let not the heart for sorrow deep refuse the bosom that sees to heave, if it is a haven at last. If it is
gypsy bride, with the costume of the gypsy and the trees of the forest as my wedding canopy.
Very well, my child.
Oh, Arlene, we shall be always together.
In marble halls and green forests.
Do you remember your dream, my love?
It is very easy to remember a dream, especially when it comes true.
I dreamt that you nights upon bended knee, and with vows no maiden heart could withstand, they pledged their faith to me. When I dreamt that one of us noble
that you love me still, the same that you
Bohemian girl Dorothy Kirsten will be back in just a moment. And meanwhile, our thanks to Herb Butterfield, who was the Count, to Bill Conrad, who was Devil's Hoof, and to our entire company. Boff's Bohemian Girl was prepared for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Only railroads can produce the mass transportation this nation must have to live as it does and defend itself. For this reason, our railroads must be kept healthy and strong at all times. And this can be accomplished only if they are allowed to earn adequate revenues. And revenues will not be adequate unless the railroads are permitted to charge freight rates which are in keeping with today's levels of wages, taxes, and prices. And now here again is our lovely guest star, Miss Dorothy Kirsten.
It was a real joy singing with you tonight, Gordon.
Well, Dorothy, we ought to do it again sometime, like maybe next week.
All right, Gordy. What shall we sing about?
More marble halls, Dottie, but very different music. You're going to be a princess, and I'm going to be your brother, the prince, in Cole Porter's delightful Jubilee.
I can hardly wait to begin the beginning.
And not only that, we're going to take a trip to the moon on gossamer wings.
That sounds like a fabulous night. See you next week, Gordy.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next Monday night and Cole Porter's Jubilee, this is Gordon MacRae saying good night.
The Bohemian Girl was presented by special arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon MacRae can soon be seen in Warner Brothers' Starlift. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now keep tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Preceding was transcribed. Next, it's Nelson Eddy on the Telephone Hour on NBC.